we were discussing the Malach of Tochen, and we just began to discuss the most famous Issa de Rabbanon in the realm of Tochen, and that is the prohibition against taking medicine in Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Mishnah tells us that under normal circumstances, one is not permitted to take medication on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because in the old days, the way medicine was generally prepared was what's called Shechikas Samamonim. They would go to the backyard and take some herbs and grind it up to make some kind of a medicine. Therefore, across the board, Chazal made a gezeira that one shouldn't take medicine. It's clear from the Gemara that this gezeira was made even on those medicines that don't involve growling up, even those medicines such as liquids. It was a low flow across the board, and it generally assumed that this gezeira is in full force with manazah as well. Very end of the shiur last week, we mentioned that one of the Gedolei Chorav, the Ketzel Sashulchan, raised the question, maybe we should do away with this gezeira. Maybe the gezeira is bottled, maybe the reason doesn't apply. Maybe the reason doesn't apply, maybe the gezeira shouldn't apply. But we know the dust settled, that's probably not the case. And in Shulchan Aruch, we assume the halacha, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the gezeira still is important. So we're going to be working with the assumption that this gezeira, the Rabbanon, of not taking medicine, applies in full force to Zman Hazeh. But let's try to see some of the parameters, some of the ramifications of this gezeira, how it plays out, some of the exceptions to some of the kulas that we have within this issur. So one of the most important kulas that we have within this prohibition of taking medicine is that, strangely enough, it doesn't apply for a chayla. I mean, someone who was sick, and depending on what that means to be sick, someone who was significantly, luckily sick, would not be subject to this gezeira. How sick does the person have to be in order for this gezeira not to apply to them? So it goes without saying if the person is a cholah sheyesh b'sakana, if there's a danger to the person's life, then you don't need me to come and tell you that you can take medicine. You can do whatever has to be done because nefesh is docha all of the Shabbos. But here the halacha tells us that even if the person is not a cholah sheyesh b'sakana, the person is merely a cholah she'ein b'sakana, they're also permitted to take medicine on Shabbos. Should that surprise us? Is that a shocking statement? So maybe, depending on what you think about general guidelines for chol on Shabbos. So there is a Gemara that tells us in Maseches Beitza, other places, that we have a chol she'ein by sukkah, not deathly ill. On the other hand, not just that his throat turning a little bit, not just that his stomach turns a little bit, not just a little bit of aches and pains, but the person is really a bona fide sick. He's a chol she'ein by sukkah. The Gemara tells us explicitly that one is allowed to do a merely akam to such a person. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do anything that's necessary. So you have to ask the non-Jew to go for the prescription, ask the non-Jew to run light. Whatever has to happen in order to help you take care of the chol she'ein b'sakana. So Chazal lifted the prohibition of merely akam entirely in the makom chol. The reason Machlokes and Rishonim is this the exception to the rule? Is this the rule? So some of the Rishonim say that this is just an example of any other Issa de Rabbanan. This is the way some read in the Rambam. That Chazal lifted all the Issurim Derabbanan on Shabbos from Makom Cholim. So not only can you do a merely Hakom, you can do all the kinds of things as well, whatever is necessary to be done. Bein HaDei Goy, Bein HaDei Yisrael, as long as it's only a Derabbanan, that would be Mutter for Chol HaShem B'Sakana. And other Rishonim disagree. The Ramban and others say no, that a merely Hakom is much more lenient, because a merely Hakom doesn't involve an action, doesn't involve a mice, it's just words. It involves an action, HaDei the Nanju, but not HaDei the Yisrael. And therefore, this is on the lower end of the spectrum in terms of Yisurim Derabbanan. And only this low level Issa Derabbanan was lifted from Makom Chayla. A real Issa Derabbanan that's done by Yisrael, HaDei Maisa, so that would still be in full force, even though the person involved was a Cholosh Eim B'Sakana. So how do we paskin that Makom is Makhlakif? Depends on what you think it means. How do we paskin? It means the Shulchan Aruch says that we're not really supposed to follow the Ramban. We're really supposed to follow the Ramban. We're not supposed to just violate Yisrael Derabbanan right and left, just because you have a Cholosh Eim B'Sakana. But the Mishnah Berurah puts in Chayadam, that if all else fails and you're really, really stuck and there's no going around and you can't do it other ways, but have other possible ways of doing it, so then me'ikim ikudin, you're probably allowed to fall back on the Shittas and Rambam, and you're allowed to do things for a chol she'ein bo sakana, even though it's a day Yisrael mamash. So as long as what's being done is not an issa deraisa, it's only an issa derabanan. So an issa derabanan can be done literally a day Yisrael if all else fails. So how does all of this relate now to what we're discussing? So we're discussing taking medicine on Shabbos. But taking medicine on Shabbos is not being done on the Goy, it's being done on the Yisrael. So I'm violating the Issa myself, so maybe one could have argued that this would depend on the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. That maybe according to those Rishonim who say that Yisurim Derabbanan are not lifted from Makom Cholah, so we shouldn't lift this Issa either. So the Poskim point out that's probably not the case, that this Issa is probably a lower level Issa. This is a very, very far-fetched Gezeira, very, very far-moved Gezeira, and therefore this is a very, very low level Issa Derabbanan. And therefore, even according to those who say that other Yisroel and the Rabbanim would not be able to be done for Mokum Choleh, this would be permissible. And that's what we pask, and that's what the Ramah pask in the Halacha. And whenever you have somebody who's a Choleh She'im B'Sakona, so what other Yisroel and the Kana cannot do, that's irrelevant. But in terms of this Issa, they are permitted to, in a sense, violate this Issa. That's how we pask in the Halacha. So you have anyone who's a Choleh She'im B'Sakona, they're allowed to take medicine. What qualifies as a Choleh She'im B'Sakona? So either of the person was called Nofel Mishka, that's what the Ramah writes, and he feels that he has to lay down in bed. So he's running a fever, very uncomfortable, something that he feels that he just can't function, he has to lay down in bed. That's called the Choleh She'im B'Sakona. Then the post can extend it to other kind of scenarios. Let's say I have a person who's a very, very young person, and a baby. So a baby is also a Choleh She'im B'Sakona. Or you have an elderly person who has certain ailments. So maybe they also may qualify as a Choleh She'im B'Sakona. So it's not always, doesn't always depend on literally that definition of laying down in bed, but there are other kinds of cases that may also qualify, also may be permitted to take medication. But again, the basic guideline is that once you meet the category of Choleh She'im B'Sakona, this is in contrast to what's called the Michosh B'Alma. Michosh B'Alma means just a little aches and pains. So you have little allergies are acting up, little stomachs acting up, little back hurts, head hurts, regular kvetchy kind of things. So that's what's called the Michosh B'Alma. And under those circumstances, one would not be permitted to take medicine on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's another important kula within this prohibition of taking medicine. That's what the Mishnah tells us in the 14th paragraph of Masechta Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us that Michal Briyim is permissible. If you have something that is usually eaten by, often eaten by a healthy person, even though right now you may be viewing it a little bit as medicine, but it's something that is considered to be within the realm of healthy and normal people eating also, so that does not constitute a prohibition either. That's what the Mishnah says. It's called the Michal Briyim. So there is a Machlekes in the Belskim. What exactly does that mean? So the Gemara in Masechet Brachos in the sixth paragraph, it's coming up soon in the Tuesday Shiurim, but the Gemara seems to say that Heter, Michal Briyim, only applies if the person really, really is eating it for Torah's food. If the person is really viewing it as medicinal in nature, so even though healthy people eat it, that may be problematic. That's what the Gemara seems to say, but we don't pass it like that. The other Rishon, we interpret that Gemara, some Rishon may be like, here's the Gemara, whatever it is, Allah Ramais, we don't really follow that. Rambam says, and we assume halacha in the later poskim, that if it meets the criteria of being a Michal Briyim, so it doesn't matter what your intent is, it's still okay. So let's say, for example, a cup of tea. So a cup of tea is a Michal Briyim, even when nothing's bothering them, they would have a cup of tea, but every once in a while, something's thrown to bother them, and they want to have a cup of tea. So let's say, now it's Sunday, but assuming it would have been Shabbos, so it wouldn't be permissible for me to have a cup of tea. So I don't usually drink tea on a Sunday morning, but I'm throwing my allergies around. My voice is hoarse. All those renditions of all those tefillos during the course of Shabbos, you know, all those great cantorials that you heard from me on Shabbos. So the person is having a cup of tea, not because he really wants the tea. Why? He's having a cup of tea because his throat's bothering him. So that's a Shabbos. So it's a Michal Briyim. People do drink tea. If I see a guy drinking tea, I don't ask him how he's feeling before Shabbos. The guy's drinking a cup of tea, that's normal. A Bari drinks tea. On the other hand, I personally am drinking it as more for medicinal purposes than for because I enjoy the tea. So according to the Sipurin in the Gemara, that would be a problem. But the way we pass the Halacha, like most of the Rishonim reinterpret that Gemara, it comes out that that would be Mutar also. That's how we follow.
What if it's not neutral? What if it's something you really don't like? People eat it, but you're dafka eating it. It's obvious you're doing it only for
a reason.
Right. It's not neutral. It's something
It's obvious. Well, that gets tricky. If it's really Michal Briyim, then why is it obvious?
No. To you, I mean, it's as a subjective
you,
thing.
I mean, you really
don't. Eats chicken soup, but they're eating.
Because the grandma told them that they don't eat chicken soup. They're never eating over the cold, right? So that's exactly this case. That's the shayla. I'm not eating it because I like chicken soup. I'm eating it because I'm doing it for medicinal purposes. It's gonna make my throat feel better, stomach feel better. So that's a shayla. So according to the Sibur, it's a problem. But the nice said nobody. The Rosh Hashulchan thinks maybe we should be machmir for that challenge tomorrow. But the nice said my loss. So therefore, a person that's rough bottom, they can have a candy or something on Shabbos, any kind of thing, it's Michal Briyim, that would be permissible. It's a very, very common child. People ask about putting on like moisturizer, all kind of stuff in their hands, their face, that kind of stuff on Shabbos. So there are multiple potential issues with that. There's one issue in terms of depending on the thickness of the, if it's a cream, that would be a more problem, it's something that would be more permissible. But there's another problem, the problem of refuah. I'm doing it because my skin is dry, because I want to make myself feel better. So if it's something that healthy people put on all the time, some people wake up in the morning, first thing they do, they put on kind of moisturizers. So if it's a normal kind of a thing, then that would be permissible. It's something that people really don't do unless the skin is bothering them, that would be a problem. So this every single winter we have the same discussion. I can tell exactly when it happens. and it first starts to get cold, and everyone's skin starts to crack. We have the same pismin every year. So my kids always ask me the same shallah, you allowed to put on the moisturizer stuff on Shabbos. So it always poses the same question. Do people put it on even if it's bothering them? And we have the same machlokes every year. Everyone says one thing and I say something else, and I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. So if somebody can do a study for me and find out whether it's considered to be Michael Briam to put these things on, even though nothing is bothering you, so then it would be mutter on Shabbos, provided that's a pourable liquid, not a cream. It's a cream, that's a whole other problem. So again, the basic answer is, yeah, you have to sometimes figure out whether it meets the criteria of literally being a Michael Briam. There was another kula, that what if the person themselves is a bari? What if the person themselves is healthy? There's nothing wrong with them. So if you think about it, the isser of taking medicine on Shabbos is a very, very small window. It only applies to certain scenarios. If the person's really, really sick, chalish, angry, sakana, then they're exempt from this isser. If the guy's totally, really healthy, so then the pasha says, then the whole isser doesn't apply either. Because the whole isser was only instituted because we're afraid that the person's going to be so upset that something's bothering him, something's hurting him, and he needs the medicine right away. He's going to run to the backyard and grind the herbs. But the guy's perfectly healthy. So why is he taking medicine? That's a whole other question. Why is he taking the medicine? But he's not really supposed to be taking the medicine. He's not really sick. Nothing really bothering him. So then the issue wouldn't apply. So the issue of taking medicine only applies to that small window of michush v'yamos, the headaches, the stomach aches, the allergies, those kinds of things. That's exactly what this issue applies. So what exactly does that mean that a bari is permitted to take medicine? Oh, that's exactly what we're talking about. So what exactly does it mean that a bari, someone who's healthy, is allowed to take medicine? So this was a big machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham. So the Beis Yosef sounds like it's totally mutter. If there's nothing bothering you whatsoever, then you're allowed to take whatever medicine you want. So why you take I have no idea why you take the medicine. It doesn't really matter. But if there's nothing bothering you, then it's mutter to take the medicine. That's what the Beis Yosef says. And the Magen Avraham says no. The Magen Avraham says that if you're totally healthy and you're taking medicine because you like the taste of medicine, again, nobody should walk away with any wrong message. We're not advocating any of these kinds of activities. But if a person likes the taste of medicine, even though there's nothing harming him, Magen Avraham says that's okay. But if you're taking the medicine for medicinal purposes, even though you're really healthy, we have to see what in the world does that mean, because we should know what we're talking about, by most of us here. So comes the Magen Avraham says that's the problem. So what would this mean, practically speaking? So I'm trying to think about a person who's totally healthy. There's nothing bothering him, but he's taking medicine because he likes the taste of medicine. So the only thing I could ever come up with is something from my youth that I don't think anybody, well, maybe some people my age would remember this, who was called aspergum. Do you remember? Who remembers? Not remember aspergum. Who remembers aspergum? Do you remember? You guys, okay, this is what, remember aspergum. Okay, what was aspergum? Aspergum was for kids who didn't want to take aspirin, right? They weren't feeling well, they were not supposed to take it. Aspirin are the things that used to exist in the world before Tylenol. There was a thing called aspirin, okay? So you had to take these little orange, St. John, what do you call them?
Orange.
No, before the aspirin gum, the little orange aspirins, little baby aspirins.
Right.
The St. Joseph's, right?
St. Joseph's
orange, right, little orange. Right. As you got older, you took more and more and more. Like, by the time you were like 10, you were like I don't want to tell you how many you were taking them, okay? They were like, mom would take this big. But they didn't really taste very good. So somebody came up with a gebalt gechat that they took a piece of gum, and they put all the aspirin, not like the guy came up with it, the company came up with it, and they made a gum coated with aspirin on it, and therefore the kid would chew the gum, it tasted really, really good. I don't think it was kosher, but it was really good, and I'm not sure that's what it was kosher. And somehow, there was like, and nobody should take it the wrong impression, but it was this kind of like, there was a feeling out there in the 1970s that it was, you know, it wasn't so bad. But it probably was really kosher, but it'll leave for another time, another place. Anyway, so everyone just ate aspirin gum. So finally, you choose like three pieces of aspirin gum was like the equivalent of taking 5 aspirin, whatever it was. But of course, since it tasted so good, so we would take it, you know, we would kind of ask our parents for it even when nothing bothered us. Or we would tell them that if it was bothering us, just again. So that's the basic system talking about. That's the mother I'm talking about. The guy's totally healthy, there's nothing bothering him. He's taking the aspirin because the aspirin is, please. Yeah, kids, all kids, please, don't ever call anything you hear in here. There's nothing, no one should ever do such silly, foolish things, okay? You should only take Tylenol under the supervision of your parents. Fine, back that story. So, this child to be successful in the Magen Avraham is now going to impact us, as Josh mentioned. Probably the most important application, this is the issue of vitamins. A very, very controversial issue in Shabbos and Yom Tov about the taking of vitamins. So maybe one can argue, if you go down the route of the Beis Yosef, that there's nothing wrong with you. The guy's perfectly healthy. So he's taking things, even if you want to argue that vitamins considered halakha would be like medicine. So then he's taking a medicine, but he's totally healthy. So since he's totally healthy, the whole fear, the whole concern that he sold the chuf, go run to the backyard and grind up his herbs doesn't apply to Gam, right? So did he circumcise this? I'll never institute the exam.
Isn't it like an ayin hara if you're taking it without being sick?
You mean a vitamin? I mean, you can take vitamins, for example, even if they're not sick. You're right. It's not a good idea. I would not recommend, don't ever take medicine unless your parents tell you that. Okay? You're right. So the some folks can want to argue that if you follow the B'sesef, then it should be totally mutter. You can take whatever vitamins you want, just based on the habit of being followed. The problem is the Magen Avraham disagrees, and many of the later poskim said we really should try to follow the Magen Avraham. So it's not so simple. So there are others who want to say, well, maybe vitamins are mutter based on different grounds. Maybe they're not medicine altogether. Maybe they're food. It means it's just in place for food. So instead of having 20 cups of milk, so you have one vitamin D. Instead of having 100 oranges, you take a vitamin C. So the vitamins are connected to foods. They're not really being done as medicinal purposes, so maybe they're not going to be medicine altogether.
What about like the cough drops that taste really good? Some people aren't necessarily they may not actually help.
Right, they probably don't help too much, right. But I think cough drops are okay, because I think cough drops are probably like a microbrium. I think people like colas, even if nothing bothers them, right? People want some more things. It tastes good. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Again, whether that's a great idea or a bad idea, that's another story. But if you follow the care,
vitamin C,
you
take them every day.
Anyway. We have to get to the everyday stuff. It's a whole other thing. So this is a running effect. So Ramesh has a long, long truth about this, about vitamins. So we treat vitamins as being like foods, which is not being foods. It's very, very unclear. So we shouldn't feel bad that the halacha doesn't have an absolute crystal clear answer to this question, because the FDA has been fighting about this for the last 50 years also. Whether vitamins are considered to be foods or drugs, I think of Kamin Ladin, which part of the FDA is in charge of monitoring them. So if I'm not mistaken, they think they're still not treated as drugs, am I right?
They're not treated as drugs.
And you know
that? Because you can't use your flexible spending account to
monitor. That's a very good proof. So the mice, it's not 100% clear what the status of the vitamins is. There's another potentially very important enough community for this, namely about the kashrus of vitamins. There's a general rule we assume that if something's a food, it has to be kosher. If something's a medicine, if it doesn't taste good, so it's probably going to be permissible. So the shayla is a vitamin considered to be a food, considered to be a medicine. It may be the same shayla. Lefianius diet, I've said this in the past, I don't think it's the same shayla. Lefianius diet, I think that vitamins are okay, even if they're a treif, as long as they don't taste good. If they're chewable, yummy, like Flintstone. I know we're tasting vitamins, that they still have them when I was a kid. So those would be problematic if they're not kosher. But if they really don't taste good, so the feeling is that even if they're not kosher at all, I think they're mutter. Because the reason why the many folks can permit to take non-kosher medicines if they don't taste good is because minatora, whatever doesn't taste good, is anyway mutter. Midrabbanan, it's also because of akshave, because you are giving a chashivos. So you're only considered for giving chashivas if you really, really want to take it. Nobody really wants to take vitamins. The only reason why I'm taking a vitamin is because my nutritionist told me to take it, my doctor told me to take it, my neighbor told me to take it, somebody told me to take it. Nobody wants to have chil, sit down, take a regimen of vitamins every day. It's a pain in the neck. So it's also not really subject to the principle of akshadeh. Again, that's my personal opinion, but I defer to the fact that all the kashrus organizations don't seem to say that. So all the kashrus organizations all say you should really try to get kosher vitamins, but in the small print underneath, and many of them will say, if you can't, then consult your up. So if you consult me, it's okay. It's a meeker, then I think it's all right. But it may not even be the same Shabbos. Getting back to the Shabbos story, so it's hard to be machriya what the story of the vitamins are. I think that there are grounds to be made. Those who really feel that they have to take the vitamins on Shabbos, first of all, they always have the B'Shoshi in their back pocket. So those who follow, the Sfarim follow the B'Shoshi against the Magen Avraham, I think it's Mutla Chathchila. And even Ashkenazim, who would normally follow the Magen Avraham over the B'Shoshi, there may be grounds to make it there also. Plus, you have a tzir from other stuff, and maybe it's not medicine altogether. So again, those who really have to. Those who don't, depends what kind of vitamins. Most vitamins you have to take once a day. So if you take a vitamin once a day, so take it Friday. If you don't take it, it's a Shabbat. If you have eight out, take it. Those who must absolutely take the vitamins, so they're going to rely.
Does it make a difference if your physician told you to take it versus if you did? Meaning, it's considered more of a medicine if your doctor told you to take the vitamin.
So that may make it, right, so that may make it better or worse. It may make it worse. Right, but it may make it better because it may become part of like a daily routine as prescribed by a doctor, which may be a whole other clue. So we'll get that in a minute.
So again, so we're still trying to fine tune what exactly and who exactly is including this iser. So yes, there's an iser called taking medicine, but it doesn't apply for the mycobrium, it doesn't apply when someone is a bari, it doesn't apply in a lot of circumstances. There is another very, very important question, a very controversial kula within the iser of taking medicine. That's the issue of a medicine that I started taking from before Shabbos. So this is based on, according to some Rishonim, may even have a root in the Gemara itself, this idea that if I started to take a medicine before Shabbos, then I'm permitted to take that same medication, ongoing routine, to take it on the Shabbos itself. What would be the svar to be making on that? So some Achronim write, the svar is very simple. That the whole Gezer is, we're afraid the guy's getting all of a sudden Shabbos morning, he's going to wake up, and his nose is running, he's got to go get a medicine, he's going to go run to the backyard and start preparing his arms. If he knows that he takes the medicine every day, he's taking the same medicine for last month, so then he's going to prepare all the medicine from before Shabbos. So the whole Gezer is never sat there, no reason doesn't apply to him.
That would be any
good. No. So according to some Poskim, that would be true. So there was a famous tshuva that was written in Europe by Reb Shlomo Kluger. So Shlomo Kluger, one of you know that Poskim of the 1800s, so he was made on this outright. Had the Gomor, he said, any medicine you started to take, if you're on this medication before Shabbos, you just continue it on Shabbos itself, and it's not a problem. And the many, many Poskim questioned whether we should follow that. So Reb Moshe did not think that we should follow this.
As far as that medicine or vitamins, there is a suffix if they help. So can we take them from space later?
You mean maybe the medicine not working all together? So, okay. I don't know if we talked to the doctor, talked to the pharmacist. I don't know. I'm not sure. So if some clue was made outright, and many, many Poskim, I don't want to say most Poskim, many, many Poskim didn't quote this idea, didn't really accept this idea. So Ramesha didn't really think this was correct. Ramesha didn't think that we should rely on this. So Ramesha writes to the Shubas that just because you started from a foyer, he's not even gurus this kula. So Rav Shlomo Zalman was a little bit more in favor of this kula, a little bit of a toned down way. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, there are a few scenarios that we have a right to rely on this kula. One of the scenarios, one of the most famous applications, is antibiotics. That if a person was on antibiotics after Shabbos, so then many folks can permit one to continue the antibiotics. Why is that? Because this is almost better than Shlomo Klum. Shlomo Klum's case, let's say a guy was on allergy medication. So he took his Claritin Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now wakes up Shabbos morning, he's miserable. His Michosh Biyam, he wants to take his Claritin again. So Shlomo Klum would say, it's fine. He took it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you can take it on Shabbos also. Another post would say, no, if there's no per se hemp, just because you start taking it from before, the low plug, it would be also. But that's different from antibiotics, because Claritin, if you don't take your Claritin, you're not going to go back and treat it. It's not going to affect you negatively. It's just you're going to have an uncomfortable day today. If you don't take your antibiotic, it's going to make the matters worse. It's going to put you back into treatment, because we all know that if you start taking antibiotics and you stop before you finish, so matters get worse.
Does it matter how many days before Shabbos you're taking?
That's also a question. It's a further question. Does it matter sometimes? 3 days? We usually assume when the Mekila, probably, even if you start on Friday, it's probably okay. So we all know that if you start taking antibiotic for a couple of days, then you stop before the infection is killed, so it's usually going to become worse. Why is that true? Any doctors here? I can say whatever I want. Okay. So I think from the way I was explained, what happens is very simple. That's a person's got a lot of those bacteria in the body, so the antibiotics come. So the antibiotics start to attack the bacteria. So who goes down first? The weaker bacteria start to get killed first. They can't fight up against the antibiotic. The problem is the stronger bacteria still putting up a strong fight. So you got to put up, you need more antibiotic, more antibiotic, more to find to kill every last one. If a person only takes a little bit of antibiotic, so what happens? So they knocked out of the system all the schwache bacteria, all the weak bacteria. What's left? All the strong ones. What happens? Each one, they multiply. What do you have? So last week, again, this may not be 100% accurate, so I'm doing the basic idea, that last week you had, half the bacteria were a little schwach, half were strong, so you didn't feel so bad. Now you got your whole throat is full of terrible bacteria, and your whole body's full of terrible bacteria, so you feel a million times more miserable. So that's something along the lines, really, truly, that is something scientifically and basically what happens. So for that reason, you have to remember when the doctor tells you to take the full regimen of antibiotics, you should have to finish antibiotics. Because there's always this tendency that we tend to feel better after 2 days. So the problem is that the system's not out of it. The gambler, so you should have to finish up your antibiotics. It used to be in the old days, so 5 years ago. So you had 10-day supply, you had to take three times a day. You always forgot. Now it's an amazing thing that they give you. Now that they give you a pack of five, they're going to do that. You give a pack of three. Soon they're going to give you a pack of one, and it's going to be the whole thing takes care of everything. You take, I usually take a whole bunch of them first. How's it work? No? Two the first day, then one the next day. Okay. So when, anyway, so the grammatic technique has been changed, but the basic idea is you want to make sure you finish up the entire pack. I remember we went out of Talmud Apollon to miss Shia for a couple of days. He came back and he told me he felt so bad, he had a terrible case of bronchitis. So a week later, he disappears for another 3 days. Comes back afterwards, I said, what happened? He said, no, please, I got a second bout of bronchitis. It was a million times worse than the first time. So I said to him, what happened? You know, my eye said, yeah, because I didn't take the antibiotic. I just took it 2-3 days, I felt better, and then I stopped, it got worse. So I said, honestly, we just learned the Shabbos, and we learned the sugya, and I told her about it. So I said, not only did you not listen to the doctor, you listened to the Rebbe, and yeah, you were sick for 2 weeks. Okay. So anyway, the bottom line is that if the not taking the medication throws the system back a little bit, then we have grounds to remake it. Unlike the cloud is a little bit different. Cloud, you don't take it one day, you feel worse, you just can feel bad. So antibiotics, I think we definitely have the right to remake it. One could perhaps remake an antibiotic for another reason. Antibiotics may have the status almost like a chol shiyesh per sekana, even though right now, the guy's not sekana right now, but any infection, if it's not healed, could potentially become a chol shiyesh per sekana. So it could be that that's enough to prevent the remotest possibility of chol shiyesh per sekana. Maybe more difficult to take the medicine at Shabbos as well. So therefore, the Lufthansa that idea, if a person's on antibiotic with strep or other infections, so they should just take the antibiotic normally, whatever they say there, even if it means taking it on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman has an extended kula. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, whatever person has medication, that it's not quite antibiotic, that it's going to throw them off. It's not like Claritin either, that it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. It's a medicine that the doctor prescribes for X amount of time. Because you have to take this medicine for the next 2 weeks. If you miss a day, will you really be thrown off? No. But, it's a regimen, it's a prescription. Your flex card covered it, so it's a real medicine. The pharmacist tells you, you gotta take it for the following amount, X amount of days. So Shlomo Zalman's making that also. So if you follow those rules of Shlomo Zalman, a lot of the medicine is gonna be better. So let's say sometimes a person has to go to certain, the packs would be taken, you have to go down. I'm saying some of the person has to go and have to take steroids or something, so you have to take seven first day, six the next day, five, those kinds of, what are they called? No? What are those pills called? Whatever they're called. So those kinds of pills, again, there's a regimen to them, there's a system to them. So those kinds of pills, I think that the one has a right to be made to take those. If it's just a question of taking it, something hard or a dollar or something like that. So according to some, whether it's still food, as long as you took it from before Shabbos, that would be okay. And then according to others, so that would be problematic. The woman is on birth control pills. So you can't assume that's permissible to be on them. So then she would be permitted to take them on Shabbos also for the same reason. If she doesn't take it, she waits a few hours, then it threw off the whole system. So that would also be covered by this kind of thing. So yeah, we have these kinds of systems that the not taking the medicine could seriously impact on the treatment. That's for sure going to be okay. There is another shaila also based on how to read a certain sugya about, is it permissible for a person to take the medicine on Friday prepare the medicine in such a way that you put it into the food, and rather than taking your pill, so you put your Tylenol inside your applesauce or something, would that be permissible? So there are some posts who maybe permit that, others are machmir on that. So again, these are, when you have these unique kind of cases, 99.99% of the time, it's going to be mutter to take the medicine for other kinds of reasons. It's a chalashim or sakana, it's a regimen of medicine, it's an antibiotic or something. But even when you have these funny kinds of cases, then you have to try to figure out, are there any other kuntzim, any other kind of kulas. I remember Rabbi Willick told us many years ago, we were learning some of these sugyas, so he said that in the sugya taking medicine in Shabbos, we have a right to have a lot, to look around a little bit for kulas, because we always have, almost like a sex fake on that. We're not even sure 100% the Yisra applies to this balazah. Because we always have tzos ha-shulchan in our back pocket, and maybe the whole gezeira is bought on this balazah. So again, normally we don't follow that, but normally we do follow this gezeira that we're on this balazah. But when Yamach likes it, she was making kulas that are maybe potentially viable kulas, so then maybe we have a right to be a little bit more medical. Okay, so next, I won't be here next Shabbat. I won't be here next Sunday morning either. So we'll share the following week.
I'm moving to a house.